Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the chain.
We are your hosts, Kendall Landreth and Sarah Schauer, and this is the BCC Club. And what do we do each week?
Well, each week we invite you to our private thread where we discuss the weirdest parts of the internet that no one should reply all to.
Mm-hmm. And this week's subject is...
Nepotism babies.
Yes, nepotism babies. And if you're not familiar, we're going to tell you a little bit more.
This week we're going to talk about nepotism babies, but first, Sarah, how was your week?
It was really good. I actually went to your stand-up show. Oh. It was incredible. Kendall has an incredible, like, stage presence. It's crazy.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet. Well, you know I did a good job. Do you know why?
Why?
Because in the middle of the show, after my set, a small old woman came backstage, and she squatted down next to me. This really did happen. And she said, "You earned a sticker." And she gave me a little red flower sticker.
Oh, wow.
She said, "Because you did a great job."
That's really nice.
So I said, "Great. I guess I'm going to do stand-up full time."
Yes.
I did amazing.
She comes back and gives you like another sticker.
Yes. I felt bad because there were three other comedians who are like more seasoned than I am. They're incredible comedians. They've done stand-up. This is like my first time doing stand-up in years. She didn't give them a sticker.
Oh, wow.
And it was a little awkward. And they were upset. They were like, "Where's our sticker?" Yeah. Like, "I'm sorry. I don't know."
It reminds me of that, like, green, yellow, red card system in,
yes,
like, kindergarten. Like, there's all the comedians, like, listed, and only you have a green card. And then she, like, puts yellow cards for the rest of the comedians.
Everyone else. She said, "Not good enough." Mm-hmm. And then I was like, "Oh, what are you up to tonight?" She was like, I see every stand-up show in the city. I was what?
You must be so busy.
And I don't think she does stand-up. I think she just loves... She's a groupie for everyone, though.
Yeah.
She just loves every single person, which I think is very sweet.
That's actually incredible because the venue is quite small, so
very
I imagine
small.
There's a lot of other small venues that she has to, like... she can't do things because she already has, like, a stand-up, random stand-up show to go to.
Yes, and she seemed stressed. Like,
yeah,
she didn't seem like she was enjoying it. Like, she came back and was like, "You did a great job. You get a prize. Here you go. I have to run to another open mic."
Yes.
I was like, "Oh, man." She is hustling,
mm-hmm,
but hustling for something that will never really benefit her.
Yeah, that is true. I'm trying to think, what else did I do this week? I don't know. I've just pretty much been like working and cleaning, because I feel like with the new year, it's just like clean out all your old shit. And I've just,
yes,
been like packing like Goodwill clothes.
Yes.
And they're going to stay in the back of my car for like 3 years.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
We always, in our house, so my girlfriend works at a, they work in like a sector that does all the food programming.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always have like a huge pile of food on our treadmill,
mm-hmm,
that we're like, we need to take this to the food pantry.
Yeah.
And sometimes we do, but it's also this huge cycle of like, okay, we need to go through all the food pantry stuff and figure out what's expired now and then throw that away. And then we keep this stuff on the treadmill and that will go to be donated. And then we add stuff to the pile and then we have to go through it again.
Yeah.
And then 4 months down the line, we do take it to the food pantry.
It's all expired.
No, we always remove the expired. But it's just like an extra chore we've created for ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't taken it to the food pantry, but every month we have to go through it and take out the expired stuff and throw it away.
Yeah.
And we got to get better about that. But it reminds me what I always do with the thrift store clothes. I never take them.
Yeah. When's the last time you used the treadmill?
I've never used the treadmill. It's a walking treadmill desk.
Yeah.
And so my girlfriend is so good at multitasking. Like, mm-hmm. They have the TV on, they're reading a book, they're doing their work, they're walking on a treadmill. When people like say the term, you can't chew gum and talk at the same time, I like am that person.
Yeah.
I cannot walk and chew gum. My brain just cannot do two things at once.
Yeah. When I'm imagining with the food on the treadmill is kind of like when you're checking it, it's like the checkout at a grocery store. Yes. You like turn it on like the slowest setting and it's like beep. This is good. Beep. Beep.
Oh, that's
wait, no,
an incredible
dude, just
idea.
Do that skit for like if you have food on your treadmill, you've already have this set up for like an entire skit right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, it's so bad. We got it. And it's one of those things where every time you do the task, mm-hmm. and I feel like it's the same with like returning clothes that I bought or returning things. Once you do it, you're like, I should do this more often. This was so easy.
Yeah. I've never returned clothes in my life because I don't know how the mail system works. I don't know where to put the return sticker. And I know that's a simple Google away. But I also like feel bad. I know that when they get the return clothes that they're not going to be like, oh, wow, they returned it. It's fucking like Walmart. They're not going to be like, oh, darn, you know? But like I just like, and I also like everything's the wrong size. So I'm like, you know what? I'll get it hemmed. Never. I've never been to a seamstress or tailor in my life.
Well, I've heard that they were thinking about removing... Or I've heard they're thinking about adding a charge for returning, which they do at some places already, but I think generally they're starting to be like, we need to start adding a charge if you want to return. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense to me. But then you have to make your clothes all the same size.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm like anywhere from a size 10 in jeans to like a size 20 in jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And it just depends on where I'm at. And so I'm like, ordering clothes online is impossible. I have to order like 10 sizes of each thing.
Yeah.
So you can't charge me for returning stuff.
Yeah.
And speaking of thinking that I deserve things that maybe I don't deserve,
mm-hmm.
today our topic is nepotism babies.
Nepotism babies. If you'd like to hear what that is, this is what it is. Nepotism baby or nepo baby is a slang term for someone who succeeds due to insider connections from their family. In particular, it is often used to describe Hollywood actors and actresses with famous parents. Are you a nepotism baby?
No.
Your parents have never...
No.
No.
My mom was a cigarette girl in Las Vegas, and my dad was a cable guy.
Wait, like your mom gave out cigarettes at a casino?
She did. She walked around Caesar's Palace, and she had a big thing on her hip, and she'd go, cigars, cigarettes, lighted yo-yos.
Yeah.
And she's so good at the yo-yo because uh-huh. she can do all these tricks while working, and she'd wear this beautiful dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess if I wanted to be a performer at Caesar's Palace, I would be a nepotism baby, but that's not the path that I went down. Are you a nepotism baby?
No, if I were to, I tried to make this a joke one time. My mom is a captain, well, like in the Navy and also a doctor. So like there's, if I was a nepotism military brat, like yes. I become like a like an 06 because my mom is also one. And then my dad like programs some weapons and I'm like, there's no way that I could, you know, being like he recommends me to like fuse together. It's like, what's that thing called? Not encrypted, where it's like
you're asking the wrong
like a secret,
gal.
Like it's like a secret sort of thing. But yeah, so I can't. I'm not there's no way that I could be. But no, I'm not.
Can you just repeat? Your mom is a. Did you say she was a surgeon and a military captain?
Yeah, she's a military doctor.
Oh, I thought you meant two separate careers. She was brain surgeon and also she was a military captain. I was like, she is incredibly accomplished.
I know. My parents are incredibly smart, which is crazy because they are super. They are. No one gets this when I say this. They are Christian scientists, which means like they believe evolution is real, but that gay marriage is bad.
Sure.
And that doesn't make no, they believe that evolution is real, but also the earth is 10,000 years old. My mom is a doctor and my dad works with, and so
they're so smart. So they, but what they've done is they've just said, we're not going to really think about that.
They've compartmentalized their thoughts and religion and they just keep them completely separate.
Well, that's like my dad would always, he grew up very religious. He grew up Southern Baptist. Mm-hmm. And, but he actually, unlike the rest of his family, he was a Democrat, and he was very, very liberal, very pro-gay. But what he would say is that if it could be proved by science, mm-hmm. he would believe it. But if it couldn't be proved by science, he went by the Bible, which I'm like, that is such a leap.
Yeah.
You can't be like, I'm all in on science. But if we like haven't quite figured out something.
Yeah. Defer to the Bible.
Defer to the Bible.
Written by shepherds. Yes. Dude, but think about it this way. Imagine farmers nowadays, incredibly smart at what they do. But imagine if they wrote a book about like how to live your life and the laws, like the holy laws. And you're like, this came from a farmer in Iowa? Would you subscribe to that? Do you know? Okay, but
well, that's kind of what QAnon is. So yeah. In a way, I think people would subscribe to it. Mm.
But then back to nepotism children, because this is Christianity is a whole thing to unpack. But it's better to imagine nepo babies on a spectrum. At the top are the classic nepotism babies, inheritors of famous names and famous features like Dakota Johnson, Maya Hawke, and Jack Quaid. And then the next tier down are people who got a leg up from family connections, even if they were not famous per se. And I would consider the Kylie Jenner to be on this level. So like,
which one?
Kylie, the only one.
On the level.
Oh, the second level. Oh, wait,
second
I was
level.
Like, which Kylie Jenner? Oh, shit. Wait, no, the second level because... She is, her sister is famous, and she, like, I don't know if you've seen that interview where she's like, I built Kylie Cosmetics by myself. I was like,
yes.
You
did not?
Like, the connections and the money is, like, pretty much, like, oh
but
my
it's
God.
So hard because then what is the difference between, like, a nepotism baby and someone who just, like, has a lot of money? Because I think even with, like, acting.
Yeah.
Like, I went to school for acting, and there were some people who were not nepotism babies. Their parents were not. Actors had nothing to do with it, but they had so much income that they could buy anything they want. They always had the most updated reel. They basically could buy an agent because they could just like do those showcases. They always had, you know, they didn't have to work a job, so they had so many legs up that I would almost put them in that second category of nepotism baby.
Yeah.
Because they just had so many opportunities, but their parents weren't. So I guess they were not a nepotism baby, but it feels similar.
I would say they might be because, like, they're all in the 1% then. And, like, the 1%, like it suggests, is a very small, like, club. So, like, even if your dad's, like, a fucking, like, he owns MIT, the school. Like, and if you go to school with an actor's daughter, that is, you're still getting connections from the fact that, like, you know this person. So it's not inherently nepotism baby, but you do have the connections to build your empire a lot easier than other people. And so the second tier also includes figures like Lena Dunham, whose artist parents supplied the necessary cultural capital, so like what you were saying, as well as industry babies like Billie Eilish. Her parents are both famous, and then she's a daughter of the voice actress, and Kristen Stewart, whose mother was a script supervisor on the Flintstones in Vivo Rock Vegas.
That one...
Oh my gosh, you know,
doesn't
like...
Doesn't that feel like a stretch to you a little bit?
It reminds me of Gretchen from Mean Girls, where she's like, my father is the owner of Toaster Strudel. Like, can you imagine Kristen Stewart being like, do you know who my mother is? She's the script supervisor for the Flintstones in Viva Rock Vegas. And you're like, is that supposed to mean something to me?
I honestly forgot the movie Viva Rock Vegas exists.
Yeah.
And I think I want to watch it
soon.
But that hardly... It almost feels like... That's not a real movie.
Yeah.
That wasn't a real script supervising position. And it also is very funny that the credits end there, at least on our wonderful notes that Mia gave us. There's no other movies.
Yeah.
So she did Viva Rock Vegas and was like, I'm done. I'm tapping out.
Yeah. I also just imagine, like, Kristen Stewart's mother is equally as stoic as her daughter. So, like, imagine her being the script supervisor and being like, I'm so sorry. There's some inconsistencies in the Flintstone script. And you're like, what? Does, like, Bonnie Rubble, like, accidentally say something weird?
Yes.
Yeah.
Incredible.
But do you want to talk about the origin and why we're talking about nepo babies?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Just give me 3 business days to find where we are at.
Mm-hmm. Second page.
I'm hoping some comments on the podcast are, like, on episode 5, being like, Kendall's doing so good with her reading. Have you guys noticed she's getting way better?
It's like a fan edit or like, you know,
me improving to like really emotional music.
Wait, like those weight loss videos, like this is me at the beginning of 2022 in the end. And so, but it's just a cut of you reading in the first episode and then the 10th episode, it's like more smooth.
Yeah. And all the comments are like, tell me why I'm crying at 7 a.m. I'm like, oh.
I love seeing my brain type represented on TikTok.
it's so sad.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I still cannot find where we're
at. We are on the second page at the top, which says,
why? Now counting to... I always feel embarrassed because I feel like people will be like, I hate when women act like they're dumb.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I swear to God, I'm not trying to do that. I'm very smart.
Yeah.
I literally can't read. Mm-hmm. Okay. Origins of Nepo babies and why we're talking about nepotism babies now. There are a few reasons why the concept criticisms of Nepo babies rose in 2022. It all started with Maude Apatow. Back in May, when a Twitter user at the handle Mary is tired.
Yeah.
Noticed that Maude Apatow, star of HBO's Euphoria, was the daughter of actress Leslie Mann and producer-director Judd Apatow. I think it's important to say that in the tweet they said, I just found out the actress that plays Lexi is a nepotism baby. Her mom is Leslie Mann and her dad is a movie director.
Yes.
Instead of saying Judd Apatow. Incredible. Maude is in the same industry as her successful parents, shares her father's last name, and has acted in their projects for years, so it's not as though she never intended her parentage to be... Is that how you say it? Parentage?
I'm not sure.
Parentage to be a secret.
Mm-hmm. So the term came to prominence because of jokes parodying a Twitter user who expressed their, surprise about Maude Apatow. And so the tweet started spreading in late February of 2022. I feel like people were talking about it a little bit more, but I feel like at the end of 2022, and especially this year, people are talking about how nepotism babies have a huge leg up in the industry, because it seems like a lot of times the people who are cast are related to someone who is already famous.
Yes.
And they're like, this is not fair. Like, you may not be like a good actor, so why... Why do you get this role and not someone else?
Yeah.
And then I think we will discuss this later, is like all the nepotism babies, well, a lot of them are not like self-aware. They're like, I had to audition like everyone else. But it's like, you auditioned in your living room. Like,
with the casting director, who's your dad?
Yeah, the 2,000 other people had to drive out to fucking Culver City and like stand in a line for 5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very tough when people do not have that awareness. That's like I always talk when you have like a rich friend who like will not admit that they are rich. And it is so frustrating because I'm like, if you were just like, I'm rich, I don't pay my rent, my parents do, I would be like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're always like, you know, I'm still using my savings from that job I used to work twice a week 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, you're not. Just be honest about it.
I think like the telltale sign of someone who is raised rich but doesn't want to admit it is when you ask them if they're rich and you're like, we're comfortable. You know, like they say, comfortable. Because I mean, like, think about it like the inverse. If you ask someone poor, were you raised poor? They wouldn't be like, we were uncomfortable. You know what I mean?
Uncomfortable.
Like, so, like,
and we were.
Yes.
We were very uncomfortable.
Yes.
It is so true. Mm-hmm. I think especially like I've had friends who would be like, we're going on a cruise, me and my family. And I'm like, that's so fun. Like, I've never been on a cruise, but I'm like, that's so fun. And then they'll be like, well, we didn't like pay for it. Like, it's because my mom has like a credit card. They just like give her a free cruise.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so that's not how a credit card works.
Yeah.
What happened is your mom paid a lot of money for that credit card.
Yeah.
And then spent enough money that now, I mean, I've never had a credit card like that. She gets to go on a free cruise. I don't know. But I'm like, that's not a free cruise.
Yeah. It's even like, I hate stand-up sets where they like make fun of like people from LA, because people outside of LA don't know what, like, I hate those types of jokes where they like make fun of influencers. Like, I feel like it's a very cheap shot. Yeah. But something I did notice, I have a friend who's really nice, but she is from LA and like from like the 1%. And even the stuff that she complains about is not something that people can relate to. So like, she's like, don't you just hate how much people wear Off-White and like all the G-Wagons everywhere? We get it. And I'm like, you're trying to act like, oh my God, it's just rich people being rich people. The fact that you even know those two things to be something annoying, yeah, like you know enough people where they wear enough Off-White designer and then they have a really expensive car, shows that you are also of
that
yes, group. Yes. Yes.
That is very funny. And all of these people, I think a huge section of nepotism babies are like that, where they just cannot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not even just actors. I know people who like have a really high up job at a company and they're like, no, I worked hard.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, yes, but you actually don't have the ability to know how hard other people worked. Like, everything is just from your perspective. Like, I don't think you didn't do anything. And then your dad was like, here's a job as the CEO of this company.
Mm-hmm.
But the work you did would have never gotten you where you are.
Yeah.
If your dad was not the CEO of this company. Which makes sense, but mm-hmm, I'm like, you just, but they have nothing to compare it to because they're like, well, I've worked really hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard to be like, but not hard enough.
You've worked hard for you, but yes, you have not worked hard.
Yes.
So there, what inspired this whole episode, because I saw this, I think everyone on TikTok saw this. So there was this New York Magazine Vulture article. So on December 19th of last year, Vulture published a cover article by Nate Jones describing the rise of the Nepo baby term in 2022 and profiling some entertainment industry figures. The article began with a description of the viral tweet and its reception, profiling the author and their life story, and then sourcing from interviews with casting directors and others. The article described an entrenched culture in Hollywood where family connections lead to career success, and the piece was a accompanied by another piece featuring a series of charts, and it showed all of the, okay, so like it'll show an actor and then it'll like have like a chart that shows their parents and then who their parents are or like who they know or who they went to school with, and you can see the full spread. And the thing is, this is going to be controversial, I don't mind nepotism children as long as you are good at what you do.
Yes, I agree.
And you own up to the fact that you had a leg up.
Yes.
Like you, like nepotism baby is, yeah, it's like a insult, but also you can own it. It's like millennial. When someone's trying to call me cringe, they're like, you're a millennial. I am a millennial, and yeah, I can be cringe.
Yeah.
So like, if
and
you just...
are. You are cringe. Yes. You're very cringy.
But I take ownership, and I'm like, you know what? I am a millennial, but...
Yeah, well, and I think... Because it's like, what do we expect them to do? They're uh-huh, born into it. We can't just be like, well, they should just sit in their room in silence the rest of their life and not do anything they want to do.
Yeah.
Like, if you're someone famous as... kid and you really love acting, I can't say you should never be able to do that. That's not fair. But I think there's people who have gone above and beyond what being a nepotism baby would ever have allowed them to do. Like, I know you love Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
And I love Miley Cyrus too. And what her dad gave her never would have equated to what she's now done and,
yeah,
and created. But she's never, I've never heard her talk about how hard she's worked or how hard it was for her. And I think there's pros and cons, because I think she did have a very traumatizing childhood, having to, because she was a nepotism baby, got a job like that so early on in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings on its own challenges. But she also does so much good in the world.
Yeah.
And tries to give back and do all of those types of things. And I think that is not very problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's good at what she does. To be honest, if someone's naturally talented and is very good, I let a lot slide.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, that's what this industry is. You yeah, are good at that. I think when it really bugs me is like on certain, and I won't say names, TV shows.
Yes.
Maybe even a sketch show where a couple of the writers are like.
I know who you're talking about.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Not even, but you know, it happens of course everywhere. Nepotism babies get writing jobs and it affects the quality of the show.
Yeah.
It affects the quality because they, and I honestly, in a way, feel bad for them. I think they've been thrown into something that they're, like, not ready
yeah,
to do. If I was writing for a show at 18, I would have been terrible.
Yeah.
And I want to be clear. I actually do not have a specific person in mind that I'm talking about.
I have two in mind. No, I understand that. And also, I want to say I do understand nepotism babies. Okay. If your mom is a singer and you also become a singer, that also makes sense to me in my head. If your dad is like a famous basketball star and then the daughter becomes a singer, mother does not have any singing background, that's where I get weird. I'm like, it would make sense if you were in the direct industry that your parent or your relative was in, because that makes sense that you would both excel in that way.
Yes.
Like Kendall Jenner is built like an athlete. And but and you know, her,
she's,
you
so
know, Caitlyn,
athletic.
Yeah, but Caitlyn was an Olympian, so it would make sense that the Jenners are a little bit athletic. So when you cross industries is where I get like as iffy as well. But like with Miley Cyrus, she became a lot bigger than her dad, arguably. Yeah. And also Miley works exceptionally hard and it has an incredibly unique voice. Like, and you can tell from her work ethic that she's not resting on her laurels at all. No. Yeah.
Yes, and I think there's some things that you can naturally be good at, and there are some things that you cannot naturally be good at. Like, you cannot naturally be born being a great brain surgeon. I don't know why I keep bringing up brain surgeons this episode.
Yeah.
They're in my head.
You've got very steady hands.
Yes, really. And maybe you could have something like that, but you would still have to, even if you were a nepotism baby and your parents were brain surgeons, and because of that you kind of got a leg up, maybe you got into a school that you really wanted to get to because you were, your parents were alumni, you still would have to go through all that school and in the end be good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, like, I think you can naturally be good at acting. And this is coming from someone, I went to acting school, and if I did a dramatic monologue, you guys would be like, she's not good at acting.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's kids who are in high school who will do a dramatic monologue. They've had no training. And I'm like, that's better than anything I've ever done. That's incredible. They're naturally talented. But when you get into writing, I think it's hard because I think, in my opinion, you can be good at, if you have no training and you write a movie, you could have one, if you're super talented, you could write one incredible script.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like on SNL, if you have to write a sketch every single week, you have to have training to do that. You cannot, like, I think for me, what's helped me so much with like TikTok is that like the only way that my training has come into play is that I can like keep making content because I have like, on days that I don't have an incredible idea, I can still kind of come up with something and piece it together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think writing and brain surgery, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have training for it, in my opinion. I don't know. What do you think?
No, I agree with that. Like, to be consistently funny, you have to be smart. Like, so this is something I, like, always say. We're like, you can be accidentally funny when something weird happens to you and then you tell the story and that's like a one-off thing. If you fall, that's a one-off thing. But if you're consistently creating content, you have to be smart to like come up with new concepts and make it work each time.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is very much like a muscle. Like,
yeah, because I don't think individually, like if I'm walking around Target doing a mom character and pointing at candy bars and being like, should I get my daughter a candy bar? Like, none of my comedy training is involved in that.
Yeah.
For the most part, but the ability to like keep making videos, that is where it kind of comes into, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, yeah, with nepotism babies, that's where it's going to be really difficult. So I think with acting, I could see someone having no training and just being like really good at it.
Yeah.
And they just, and to me, I'm like, well, if you're really good at it and you audition, it's not really my business what your training is if you're really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But some things I don't think are like that.
That's true. And we do have some famous examples of nepotism babies, so we can roast them and talk about them.
I was so nervous for this because I have a shockingly bad knowledge of celebrities. Like, if you name a very famous celebrity, I feel like most of the time I'm like, who's that?
Yeah, I need a phase. There are examples of unsuccessful nepotism babies, which I think is really funny because the thing is if you have all the connections in the world and access to money, like, and you're bad, that is where I'm like, you actually must suck. Like, you actually, like, if you have, okay, so we're going to talk about.
Sorry, I'm getting so. Yes.
I'm so, getting so mad.
You suck.
I literally wet myself. Okay, so the first one is Brooklyn Beckham. He's the son of David Beckham, who is an athlete, and Victoria Beckham, who is a musician. And he had a short-lived and somewhat unsuccessful stint in soccer, modeling, photography, and cooking. You guys need to...
Wait, how old is he?
I don't know. He's 23. Okay, wait.
That is so many career paths to do.
What you guys need to do is stop driving right now. Pull over on the side of the highway and look up Brooklyn Beckham's photography book. It is so monumentally bad. And the captions that he added, he was like, I'm a profound thinker. You know,
I have to look it up because I didn't actually look up the photo of it.
Wait, there's a link in the doc. Oh. Yes. But you can look it up, and it's called What I See. This is what the article says. Try, and if at first you don't succeed, remember you're still a celebrity's child. So try again. Honestly, you're not going to lose money. No one exemplifies this maxim better than Brooklyn Beckham. At 23, Beckham has already cycled through aborted attempts to follow in his parents' footsteps in the world of football and modeling. He next tried to become a professional photographer, releasing a coffee table book full of out-of-focus pictures of elephants. Then he was a chef, a career he embarked upon despite possessing a level of culinary talent most commonly seen in BuzzFeed videos. Yeah, because this is what this reminds me of. You know when you're the prettiest girl in a small town and mm-hmm. everyone in the small town is like, you should be a model? That's like what I imagine Brooklyn Beckham, and since he's like the 1% is like, he takes a decent photo and, you know, fucking, what's his parents' name again? You know, so David and Victoria are like, Brooklyn, I saw you use a camera the other day. You should become a photographer. And look, your mom's a model, so you should photograph for Vogue. And it's like, no, you shouldn't.
And because they've never had the experience of like making something they're really proud of and no one seeing it.
Yeah.
Like they're like, if I make something incredible, it should be seen.
Yeah.
When it's like, I'm sure you and I have both made things where like, this is so good. And people are like, yeah, we actually do not care.
Yeah.
We actually don't care at all.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I feel like it would be so sad to be a nepotism baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think of everything that like makes me a confident person is like things over time that I've not just achieved like on paper, but achieved personally that I've like gotten better at or I've worked for. And I think nepotism babies do not have that for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what a life that must be.
Yeah, it's like the same thing as getting like advice from someone who's really hot. Like it's like they tell you about like they give you like dating tips and you're like, the thing is you have such a monumental leg up. Like when someone really hot like is like, you know, I just kind of like ran up to them and like, boo, in the club. And I was like, imagine someone unattractive going, boo. They would be like, yeah, like you're hot. That's why that's allowed. Yes.
Yeah, it's we don't need advice from these people.
Mm-hmm.
Is so sad. I also am so fascinated about it. Did it say he was trying to become a professional soccer player?
Yeah.
Was he previously playing soccer? It feels like he just was like, I got to pick something else. Oh, I'll try soccer. And then he's like, can I be a professional? And they're like, well, have you ever played soccer before? He's like, absolutely not.
But have you seen my dad?
Yeah.
Speaking of famous dads, our next unsuccessful Nepo baby is my personal obsession, Chet Hanks. It's crazy how Tom Hanks is beloved, but Chet is just, he's the son of Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson. They're both actors. He starred in Shameless, Empire, and Your Honor. He's found himself in various controversies over the years. So during high school, I really want to read this list. During high school, Hanks' parents sent Hanks to a wilderness therapy program for troubled teens. That's actually fucked up.
This, I actually got into a long conversation with my girlfriend about this exact thing last night because I was like, I did not know that they did that. And I was like, that's bad, right? And they were like, well, I do think back then we did not have as much education now as we do about it. And I think maybe there are different types. Because to me, I think wilderness therapy camp, and I'm like, ooh, bad, abusive and not good. And usually kids who like are not bad for the most part, like maybe they have ADHD and their parents are like, send them out to the forest. And if they break their ankle, make them keep walking.
Yeah.
But maybe there are better ones because I found that very alarming.
I don't think so. I think
it was just bad.
Yeah. He also described himself as the black sheep of the family, which I can see. In 2015, he was wanted by British police for damaging a hotel room, incurring $1,800 in damages, and he entered rehab for cocaine addiction that year. A judge in Fort Bend County, Texas, granted Hank's former girlfriend, Kiana Parker, a temporary protective order against him. Oh, so yeah, he's for verbal and physical abuse. Yeah, so.
It makes you wonder.
Shitheads.
This is why I will not have children.
Yeah.
It is so scary you just do not know. And I have 6 siblings. Each one of us is so completely different.
Mm-hmm.
You would never guess that we were raised by the same people.
Yeah.
And I think that is very scary. Or you really have no control. You could read every book. You could do every single thing right. Also, maybe Tom Hanks didn't do that and he was like a bad dad. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like at the end of the day, your kid is just going to be bad. Or they could be the worst person in the world that you're like, how did I raise this? And it's just like, well,
yeah,
you have to still, that's still your kid.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not interested in that. That's what I'm
No, yeah. Also on March 26, 2021, Hanks posted a video on Instagram declaring a white boy summer. He's like a white rapper, but like not good, which is, I mean, what's that thing of where, crap. What is that thing of where like, you know what? I can't even come up with
sound
the word.
Sound it out.
That word where.
Breathe through it.
It's redundant. You know,
redundant.
A bad white rapper.
Yeah.
So on August 10th, 2021, he posted a video on Instagram initially urging viewers to get vaccinated for COVID-19. He then revealed it was a joke and denied being vaccinated himself, claiming, "You ain't sticking me with that motherfucking needle. It's the motherfucking flu. Get over it, okay?" He received backlash for the comments on social media. Yeah, dude.
That is wild. Also because I'm like, I understand if you're I don't understand it, but if you're like anti-vax and you're following all these anti-vax, I'm sure comedy about being anti-vax comes out, but just saying make sure to get vaccinated for COVID-19 is not a joke.
Yeah.
It's like, where's the punchline?
Yeah.
You just are informing people to get vaccinated. That's so weird.
Yes. We also have Olivia Jade.
Olivia Jade.
Who's the daughter of Lori Loughlin, the actress on Full House. Did you watch Fuller House?
Yes, I watched Full House and I watched the first season of Fuller House, and I think in my brain was like, and then it was canceled. And then I found out it went on for like five more seasons or something crazy.
Yeah. And someone else who's a fashion designer, she became an influencer YouTube who caught on in 2019 from the college admissions scandal. So basically, her mom bribed USC, like saying that she was on the rowing team when she wasn't on the rowing team at all, which got her into USC.
And then, she paid like $500,000 to do this.
Yeah, and then Jade goes on her YouTube and she's like, I don't really care about school at all. I just want to party. You just took the spot from someone else who, like, you know, deserved to get in USC and you don't even, like, appreciate it.
Did she know when she posted that video?
That she was an idiot?
That she was stupid?
Yeah.
Did she know that her mom did that when she posted that video?
I think so. I think, I mean, there's a whole ring of moms. But, like, it's, you lack self-awareness, you know? When you're raised in a bubble and you lack self-awareness.
Do you feel bad for Olivia Jade?
No.
Okay, me neither.
Yeah. But we do have cool nepotism babies, if you'd like to talk about them.
Yes, we do. Cool nepotism babies.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorites. So I've always said I would want to play my mom if I ever had a biopic, which I will never have a biopic.
I thought you were saying if I ever had a mom.
No.
Yeah.
Yes. If my mom was like, you have to pick another mom, I would pick Laura Dern, daughter of Bruce Dern and Diane Ladd. I actually did not know that. I did not know she was a nepotism baby. Through her industry connections via her parents, likely helped, she gained enough success to be viewed on her own terms.
Mm-hmm.
And has starred in movies, TV shows, including Blue Velvet, Jurassic Park, Star Wars, Little Women, Marriage Story, Big Little Lies. Not listed here, Fault in Our Stars.
Mm-hmm.
She's incredible. The best part of that movie.
I would say that, like, again, like we were talking about, Laura put in the work. You know, like, she is a good actor. So, like, and I think she owns up to the fact that her parents are famous. Which is why we support her. We still love her. And that's all you have to do, literally.
And used her power for good in so many ways. I think similar to, like, when Dakota Johnson's the one who went on Ellen and was like, I invited you to my birthday party.
Yeah.
It's like, she was really, maybe she would have done it no matter what, but I think she was more confident doing that because she's like, what are you going to do? Like, you can't, like, ruin me.
Yeah.
I'm in a very successful family. I feel like with Laura Dern, she took that power and she was like, I'm going to be on Ellen and I'm going to do things, right? She was on, she was the one who was dated Ellen on Ellen. Okay. Yeah. She was on Ellen and, or no, she played Gail.
Yeah.
And did those things and used her power for good, which I think is always very nice.
So there is also Miley Cyrus, which we briefly touched on, but her father, Billy Ray Cyrus, made Achy Breaky Heart. This is what I think is funny. So Mia, our research assistant, we prompted her to look up good nepotism babies, and she included Prince Harry, which I would argue being a prince is like
not enough intestine.
It's just like a royal family. You know what I mean?
I did think that was very funny because it's like he needed connect. He was like, I worked so hard to get where I am today. It's so funny.
He only got his princehood from being the son of a king and a queen.
I guess there's truth, though, that, like, now he, like, has, he's, like, is he, so is he unofficially, he's not in the royal family anymore. He is,
no.
But he's left, right?
Yeah, he is
so
left.
So I guess I would say his Netflix special and things wouldn't exist if he wasn't a prince.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not, that's very funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I, one comment about Miley Cyrus is that when I was growing up, Hannah Montana was, like, the show.
Yeah.
And I thought growing up that Billy Ray Cyrus was, like, the most famous person of my parents' generation. I was like, oh, Billy Ray Cyrus is, like, everyone's everything. He's so famous. And I think I, like, recently learned that, like, he wasn't that big of a deal.
Yeah. He had, like, a very successful album in the 90s. And I don't want to, like, undermine, like, what he's accomplished, but he's not as
famous. If he's listening, because we don't want him to think we don't respect him.
Sorry, Billy. We do also have some Nepo Baby reactions. And so the biggest nepotism baby who is dangerous to talk about, Mr. Ben Platt.
Why is it dangerous? People are like ride or die for Ben Platt.
Yes, very much. So Ben Platt criticized for he was cast in Dear Evan Hansen, but his father is like one of the biggest producers of all time. La La Land, The Trial of the Chicago 7, The Girl on the Train, Drive, Babylon, Dear Evan Hansen, Cruella, Aladdin, Rent Live, Mary Poppins Returns, A Very Wicked Halloween, which is wicked, Hotel Artemis, Ricky and the Flash, Six Dance Lessons in 6 Weeks, Mockingbird, Winter's Tale, Honey, Two Guns, Taking the Stage, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Nine, The Other Woman, Legally Blondes. There's more. Wicked, Legally Blonde 2, Legally Blonde. So Ben Platt, Ben Platt is a very good singer and a very good actor. You could argue he has had two legs up. And that's all I will say about this.
I think singing is so hard because mm-hmm. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Singing is great that he can sing.
It's like me with driving a truck.
You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
This is really hard. But I think especially having lived in New York and LA, I have met thousands of people who are incredible singers. I went to a party a couple weeks ago and they did karaoke, which I'm like, I'm never doing karaoke in LA because everyone who comes is literally like should be. I'm like, how are you not winning Tonys? Yeah. Like, you're so amazing. And they're just like, oh, I like work at a restaurant. I'm like, that's crazy. You're so talented. And so I've started to just be like, being a good singer is not enough because there are so many good singers mm-hmm. that you have to. That is not to me. I'm like, okay, Ben Platt, you can sing. What else can you do? Can you juggle?
Yeah.
Can you do impressions? Can mm-hmm. you like, what else can you do?
I think he probably can because I think he went to like performing arts school. So he probably has like, you know, like the special skills on your actor resume.
Yeah.
He probably has like a holistical.
Well, because he didn't have to take a job. Or he didn't have to have a job probably in college. So he was like, I'm taking a
so we can learn
acrobatic class.
And archery.
Yes, archery.
There's also a Lily Rose Depp, who is gorgeous, by the way, but daughter of Johnny Depp and another person. I'm forgetting her name. But she said, the internet cares a lot more about who your family is than the people who are casting you in things. Maybe you get your foot in the door, but you still have your foot in the door. There's a lot of work that comes after that. So she's criticized because she's a model and she's like 5'3 or 5'4. And there are short models, but she's walking these high-end runways after not doing like, I don't want to say like the local scene, like, you know, like Tampa Fashion Week.
Yeah.
But so it's just like, you do have a leg up is actually incredible. Like, it's very substantial, actually.
Well, I think I've experienced like, I feel like my opinions changed on nepotism babies more when I went viral online.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think going viral online is currently like really the only way that succeeding in this industry is accessible to everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like now I think things have become so like you have to have money, you have to have connections. And if you go viral online, that's like not up to anyone. That's just like you or I both are able to do that. But there's sometimes that I'm given things that I'm like, wow, when I was not on the internet, had to work so hard and I still wouldn't get it. Like when I was in New York, I would send out hundreds of like snail mail headshots and resumes and all of that. And then I like had a viral video and I feel like I had managers being like, do you want, would you like to chat?
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is crazy, which is not the same as being a nepotism baby, but it almost feels similar where I'm like, no, getting your foot in the door is already the thing. Like
yeah,
that is the hard part of it.
Yeah.
And then because once you have your foot in the door, your work is allowed to be mm-hmm. like you get if you work hard, you get rewarded for that.
Yeah.
And I think they don't understand that like most people work so hard and do not get ever rewarded for it.
Yeah. No, I know that. Like it's actually kind of crazy. So I talk about this a lot. Like people in traditional media also do not like people in social media. So you did say like it's a way for like going viral is the only way that you can become famous. But like it's almost like if having like social media is like bad for like a lot of people in traditional media. I went to this like Instagram event but it's crazy how like people, I went to this Instagram event, love Instagram, but they invited me and they had someone working and I guess she transferred over from another company mm-hmm. and I was like, hey, so what is, you know, can you tell me the gist of this event? And she's like, I'm sorry, I just don't know anything about Instagram. Like I'm not into this whole like social media thing. Like I don't know any of these influencers. And I was like, if you don't like social media, that is totally fair, but you are at an influencer event.
Why was she there?
I don't know, but she was like, she does that like Hollywood thing of where like people who say they're from social media, like that's, I don't even know what that is, you know? That's what people in traditional media do. But I was like, imagine if you hired like an intern to work at like the Met for like a fashion show and you went up to them like asking who this designer is and they're like, I'm so sorry, I'm not into this whole fashion thing. You'd be like, why are you here?
Yes, but she somehow, and they would feel, in that scenario, they would be like, I'm so stupid, I feel so embarrassed.
Yeah.
But somehow at influencer events, they're like, because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're on my turf.
Yeah, I mean,
we're at Malibu Sifu, what is it called?
Yeah.
Malibu Sushi.
We're at Malibu
Nobu.
Sushi. Yeah, Nobu,
Nobu
Sushi.
Malibu.
But it's like, and it's totally fine to like not like influencers, but why would you work the event and then like be like so unabashedly
weird.
Like, I don't know anything here and I'm that makes me better.
But eventually they'll regret it because I've seen, coming from like the improv and sketch world, in 2020 when TikTok was first starting, when I got on TikTok, they were just roasting TikTok. Oh, it's so embarrassing for these comedians trying to do TikTok humor. And the most just like joyous thing is when I see one of those people now in 2022 like post a comedy TikTok.
Yeah.
And people who are like, they're incredible and real. Like I've seen them do live comedy and they're incredible, but them doing a TikTok, it feels like they like do not know how to do it. And it gets like no views. And I'm just like, because you can only deny it for so long.
Yeah.
Where it's like, it is all becoming connected. Mm-hmm. And that is just how it is going to be.
Yeah, like to undermine the power of social media would be a mistake on your part, especially like musicians, because like when like if you Doja Cat's like fucking Pink album blew up everywhere on TikTok because of TikTok.
Yeah.
So like it's cringe, but it's also a necessary tool.
Yes.
We do 100%. Have a couple more like quotes from Nepotism Babies, like Maya Hawke, who I personally love. I loved her in Stranger
Remind
Things.
Remind me who I never. This is crazy. I've never seen Stranger Things.
You've never. So this is going to be hard. You should
I'll just bow my head for this part.
Yeah, and you close your eyes to pray. But she said, being from a famous family definitely gives you a massive advantages in life. And while you will get chances for free, the chances will not be infinite. And that is true, I guess, you know. But again, you still have a leg up.
It's just like it's so nuanced, of course. But I think even me, who came from a family where, like, neither of my parents were in the industry, I feel like I'm always recognizing my privilege in some way. Where I'm like, well, when I graduated high school, my parents let me move to New York City. And, like, even though they couldn't afford it, like, paid for me to get to New York City and figured it out, put it on a credit card, whatever they were able to do. There was a lot of people who were probably equally, if not more talented than I am, who were not able to do that. So it's like I think Nepotism Babies get so defensive, but it's like every single person has something that gave them a tiny leg up.
Yeah.
And some people do not. And then, but I think, of course, but for the most part, everyone has something that it's like, well, I was an only child. So my parents were able to give me any resource they had to do this. And some people had, you know, some people already lived in LA, some people, things like that. And so it's just like, how are you not recognizing? Why are you so scared to recognize that you have any privilege? And I think it's because there is a very scary realization of like, what have I ever done to be proud of?
Yeah.
Which would be hard. Mm-hmm. But I think they do have things to be proud of. They just didn't get there the way that most people do. And some of them don't have things to be proud of, like the elephant. Yeah. The elephant boy is what I'm calling him. I don't remember his name.
Chet Jennings.
Yeah. We just got word that there is actually a nepotism baby in the building. So we went and asked if they would like to be interviewed for this episode, and they said yes, so that's going to be amazing. So I'm going to ask them a couple questions.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go move my car in the parking lot.
Okay, everyone, I have to say I am fangirling a little bit. Right now, we have an incredibly amazing guest. We have Jennifer Love Hewitt II.
Mm-hmm. With no
us.
Relation to Jennifer Love Hewitt I.
None at all?
No, it's a coincidence.
Why did your parents decide to name you that?
I don't know. They're just crazy.
Oh, my God. Wow.
I know.
That is amazing. So today's topic we talked about on the podcast before you got here was nepotism babies.
Okay.
Okay. Do you think that you, first let me ask, please.
Sorry.
Jennifer, silence your cell phone.
A gynecologist. I'm getting Botox in my labia later so it stops getting wet when I don't want it to.
Oh my God, but it can if you want it to?
Yeah.
Wow. What do your parents do? Tell me.
So my dad is the CEO of Goodwill and my mom invented poaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about those two things?
Well, I love recycling and thrifting. Sure. Never done it, but I've heard good things.
Okay.
And poaching is really hard and kind of stressful because it's just, guns are such a, they're so fiddly, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you do?
I'm an actress. I'm also an artist. I also like to skateboard. In my mind, but I'm really good at it up there.
So you've never actually skateboarded?
Not physically, but very much mentally and spiritually.
How do you get in the zone to do that?
I put on some really fluffy slippers and, of course, a tattered shirt that I got from Goodwill and some jeans from my mom's travels to Africa. And I just kind of like walk around and close my eyes.
That is amazing. So would you... You would consider yourself a pretty successful actor.
Yes, I was in We Bought a Zoo and Venom, the new movie out 5 years ago.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I was also in The Dark Knight. I was the Dark Knight.
Yes. Were you?
Mm-hmm. I was actually Batman's stunt double.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We have the same build and body type, very broad shoulders.
I thought that when you came in. Mm-hmm. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's very jarring.
Do you think that you would be where you are today without your parents?
Yes, because I'm incredibly good at taking a punch and falling off buildings. So I was the natural choice for being Batman's stunt double. And I mean, when I acted in We Bought a Zoo, I'm very familiar with large animals running slowly. So I was, you know, it was a shoo-in. It was, you know, a match made in heaven.
But you didn't do any poaching on the set?
No. But mom sure was tempted.
Oh, was she? Would they not let her on set?
Yeah, she brought a butterfly knife and she ran at the elephants. And I said, Mom, yeah. I'm working.
But you're so professional. You said you can't do that here.
I know. Wait until like we wrap.
And that's so much a part of succeeding in this industry is being professional.
Yes,
which
it
clearly
is.
You've learned.
Uh-huh.
And so then with being a stunt double, you found that you might just be the only one who is fine feeling any amount of physical pain.
Mm-hmm. It's because I've never felt anything else in my entire life because I guess I haven't struggled. So like when I get hit and I fall, it's when I feel and experience sympathy and empathy for the first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
That must make you a real hot commodity in the business.
It is. I'm actually a very profound thinker. I have
You're doing it right now. Look at
yes,
you.
Yes, I am. I'm
You're
actually deep in thought. Mm-hmm. I'm actually skateboarding right now in my mind. Mm-hmm.
And tell me, so the moment you, as a child, said, I'm going to be an actor.
Yes.
What was the first step you took?
I went up to my father and I said, Daddy, can you buy Walt Disney World and Land? And he said, sure, honey. And that's how I got my role as Hannah Montana originally. Mm. And then I was beat out by Miley Cyrus because there's this whole, within the nepotism baby, there's actually a hierarchy. So she won it and I.
She was ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
She beat you up?
Mm-hmm. She beat me up and that's when I got into stunt doubling.
Wow. Were you Hannah Montana's stunt double?
Uh-huh.
They didn't probably use you too much.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, they didn't.
Well, I'm really sorry you had to go through that.
It's okay. I found my passion. Being struck in the face.
So when people say you haven't struggled, you probably are like...
I have physically struggled.
You physically struggled a lot.
Yeah.
Let me ask you,
What projects? Because I have to know. I'm so excited. What projects do you have coming up?
So we have Sincerely Evan Hansen coming up. It's the part two to Dear Evan Hansen, where we tie up some loose ends.
Yeah.
And it does star my bestie from elementary school, Ben Platt. He will be 46 as a senior in high school. And I will be the guidance counselor who sells meth to all the kids.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So you guys must connect a lot.
We do. We do. We are both gay, and we both like Ben Platt's father. Yes. Yeah.
And if you had, because you're very inspiring.
Yes.
To me, to many others. Mm-hmm. If you had to give advice to someone who said, I want to be an actor, what would you tell them? What advice would you give them if they're just starting out?
I would say be born into the correct family.
Right.
And if you change your last name to Baldwin or Musk or Obama.
So did you change? Be honest, because I know you already told me.
Jennifer Love Hewitt II, yes.
Did you rename yourself that?
Yes, because everyone needs a stage name.
So you just took someone else's.
Yes. And I mean, not someone else's. I'm the second.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they don't get mad at all the popes for saying, you know, I'm John the Third. It's like there was already a John the Second, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Has she reached out to you?
She has not. But then again, I don't really check my texts from people over 30. Yes.
Oh, no.
I know.
Wow. Well, you are an inspiration to me, and I just appreciate you coming on so much. You, I mean, clearly you work very hard at getting punched.
Yeah, yeah.
That is special.
Mm-hmm, I was taking a break from, I was filming Jackass 12, Revenge of Steve-O, and yeah, so I had a break. We were actually shooting down the street.
Yeah.
Also, West Coast Customs is down the street, and I'm actually a friend of Exhibits. I was on the original Pimp My Ride. I was a mechanic. Yeah, and I installed some hot tubs in the back of some, you know, Chevy Suburbans.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. You have had quite a life.
I'm a Jill of all trades.
You are. You're yes. You're a Renaissance man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for coming
on our show. Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course, it's amazing. We talked all about Nepotism Babies, and you have just really opened my eyes to the reality of it all. So thank you.
All right. Well, are you related to anyone famous, perchance?
You know what? I'm gonna be honest. I am.
Who?
My cousin, this is real, was the host of the original Wipeout.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So. I was on American Ninja Warrior as one of the obstacles one time. You had to get through an entire conversation with me and then scale a 30-foot wall. Yes, yeah.
And people must have not succeeded.
No.
Not a single person got through for the first time in American Ninja Warrior history.
I stopped many a weightlifter in their tracks. Yes.
They said, we cannot. They just jumped right into the water.
Yeah, they just gave up. But that's actually where I found my first boyfriend, Mark Anthony.
Oh, my God. You didn't tell me. Has he helped you at all in any?
Yes. He used his twins as a flotation device to get me out of the water one time when someone knocked me in.
I think I meant, did he help you in your career? But that works, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He helped you get out of a really scary situation.
Yes. He taught me how to sing and how to get in contact with J-Lo. And, you know, one thing led to the other, and I played at the Super Bowl actually a couple years ago. Mm-hmm.
You played the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. I was right after Beyonce.
I think I remember seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
I was a little confused, I have to be honest.
Yeah, they always put like the opener for, well, obviously. So Beyonce was my opener. And, you know, she kind of like overshadowed my performance, but I think
how did she feel? Did you talk to her? Did she feel upset that you came
I felt,
in?
Yeah, kind of swindled, you know?
Yeah.
Like I was, she had fireworks and I just had my mother shooting guns off in the background. And so it was just like...
But you had some cool stuff. You entered by falling off a 100-foot ledge.
Mm-hmm. And I
landed
actually...
Landed smack on the floor and still stood up and sang.
Mm-hmm. The key to absorbing an impact like that is being completely drunk.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like people who get sucked into a tornado. All the drunks survive when they're thrown to the ground. So I was incredibly drunk during my halftime performance. And some people say it was the best of the last decade.
Well, it was definitely the most viral.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I had to have complete body surgery because all of my bones shifted to the back.
Your back does look very
dense.
Very front.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for coming. This has just been a delight. And we hope to have you back.
I would love to come back. I'm looking for jobs, especially in places that have cameras and people around.
Sure.
So keep me in the back of your mind.
I will. You'll be right at the front of my mind.
All right. Well, thank you.
Of course.
You'll be at the back of my front.
Oh my God. Thank you. Yes. With all your bones.
Yes. Well, thank you for having me.
Yes. Thank you for having me. And thank you guys for joining us for this interview.
Well, that's it for this episode of the BCC Club, guys. Thank you so much for joining us on the chain. Kendall, do you have any final thoughts on Nepo babies?
I wish I was a nepotism baby.
I wish we were nepotism twins.
I wish we were nepotism identical twins.
Yes. But this has been this episode. Make sure to like and subscribe on the YouTube and rate us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any place you get your podcasts, honestly.
Any place.
Yes.
We're so excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yay, episode 2.
And join us next week. We're going to talk about something else.
Get ready. Get excited.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.